Hello and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today we're going to take a somewhat of a big picture approach to looking at enterprise content management and collaboration and some of the trends that we might see over the next, say, 12 to 18 months and how things are taking shape in these markets. So we're going to look at some of the trends on the horizon and some of the specific technology issues that are informing these big trends. To discuss them, I have the great pleasure of welcoming Search Content Management contributor Peter O'Kelly, who's also a consultant at O'Kelly Associates. Peter, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm very pleased to be back and appreciate the opportunity to participate in another podcast.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I'm looking forward to this conversation. And maybe you could just start out by telling us a little bit about where these trends and this research comes from.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the project was a market analysis focused specifically on market trends and enterprise content and collaboration opportunities, very much focused on Office 365 and some of the new tools in there. It was not sponsored by Microsoft. It's independent research, but we took a look at the overall market trends and then drill down on some of the migration opportunities and challenges. And it's a 33-page document. It's a free download, no registration required, and there's a link available on the podcast page for listeners who would like to know more about the details.
Okay, so now let's launch into some of the highlights of that research. Let's start out with the first trend, which you cite as kind of the changing role of mobile in content collaboration. So what does mobile first really mean, and does it capture where we are in terms of these markets?
It's interesting. It's a rapidly becoming a mobile-first reality these days, so it's not just a Microsoft mission theme. We see that new content collaboration and application development tools simply aren't going to suffice anymore if they don't have first-class support for smartphones and tablets. So it used to be kind of an afterthought, and that's no longer acceptable. It's reasonable in some scenarios to have mobile devices kind of operating as satellites to applications on traditional PCs. That is, the mobile devices are not complete replacements, but we're expecting that users are now doing a lot more on the mobile devices. It's not just about messaging and getting notifications, but now you want to be able to access content. And if you have the privileges, the access privileges, you want to be able to take action in context, including even collaborative authoring when you're on your smartphone or your tablet. So it's not just for messaging and notifications. And this has led to some significant upheaval in the major vendor strategy. If you look at things like Microsoft Power BI and Power Apps, they're great examples, and they're native internet apps. They're HTML5, JavaScript, JSON, with automatic layout optimized for different device form factors. And this has been a pretty radical shift for Microsoft. So overall, I think even if we're not 100% mobile first in our daily work activities today, Microsoft and other leading vendors are betting that that's where we're headed.
So we've talked about mobile and how that's kind of an important backdrop to how vendors have to kind of think about designing their app and enabling users and customers. So now let's talk about another really important backdrop to all of this, which is cloud computing. How does cloud infrastructure and cloud-based apps kind of change the speed of business, the way we operate in business, and the kind of the ease of use of these applications?
Yeah, and that's another major factor that we identified in the research. We see the scale of shifts to cloud infrastructure and applications such as, or platforms and applications such as Azure and Office 365. They're dramatically simpler to use and much easier to manage than their earlier on-premises alternatives. And even though this has kind of been speculative for several years, and there were some early starts with other cloud things, including ones from Microsoft, Microsoft's just announced earnings and make it very clear that this is being well received in the Microsoft customer base. So Azure revenue is up 140%, Office 365 sales were up almost 70%, and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella noted that 70% of Fortune 500 companies are now using at least two different Microsoft cloud services. And this has been largely a public cloud shift. Many of the private cloud offerings have kind of quietly faded away. And initially, it was kind of an accounting thing, so you can treat this as an operating expense rather than a capital expense, and that's financially attractive. But more recently, and more significantly, for both application developers and from a DevOps perspective, organizations are realizing they have an opportunity to have fewer moving parts that need to be directly managed, which means they can focus more on addressing specific business needs and less on the low-level operations and administration. It makes it a lot easier also for controls like data loss prevention and other content governance concerns. So I think this is kind of the tipping point for public cloud. It's turning into the new default.
Right. So now let's talk about something with a little bit also with kind of a patchy history, but that undeniably is becoming part of how we do business today, how we do work today, which is enterprise social networking tools like Yammer or Jive or even instant messaging, and social media platforms. How have these kinds of capabilities kind of been woven into the fabric of business? What's the progress? What's maybe holding them back a little?
Great, great question. And another key topic for content and collaboration concerns at this point. It's frankly a bit of a paradox for people who have been long-term collaboration or social software advocates, because as you suggested, the specialized products that are focused on what was previously called enterprise social, they seem to be struggling, and there are even questions about the extent to which Yammer is a strategic part of Microsoft's ongoing product suite. The good news is that actually the collaboration capabilities and social capabilities have become increasingly pervasive. So if you, this is one of many things, if you think of it as a consumer internet in kind of dynamic for the enterprise, people who are using Android and iOS devices, they just now assume that sharing and other social actions like being able to comment or like or even edit something if they have privileges, those are platform services. It's something that can be used from most, if not all, application contexts at this point. It's not a separate application that you switch over to, which is certainly important for mobile devices where you're not alt tabbing between applications all the time. So the good news is that I think people are doing more and more collaboration and social activities all the time. And it's important because, as we'll discuss in a minute, when you think about things like social and activity graphs, these are the activities that populate those things and make it possible to produce more useful recommendations. But the traditional sort of specialized tools for social, they continue to struggle in the market.
And you talked a little bit about how some of these social tools kind of on the back end are informing new ways of working for users. Office Graph being kind of the engine behind Delve and other services in Office 365 to kind of create greater connections, more understanding of how workers are working and serving up things to them kind of proactively. Do you see that as increasingly kind of table stakes for these productivity apps in the future?
Yeah, and they're very expensive table stakes. So if you look at all of the pieces that need to come together to do this well, it really gets narrowed down to things like Microsoft Office Graph. There's the Facebook Graph, and soon Facebook at Work. Google has their graph. IBM Watson is another one that's got a similar technology. So the computer science that goes into this in terms of big data, analytics, deep learning, can be kind of intimidating. The good news is that it's being democratized through things like Delve, as you mentioned, where you don't need to know the underlying details. And again, if this is, it's on a public cloud infrastructure, so you're not doing the care and feeding of this massive and very rapidly growing graph database underneath it. Instead, just as is the case with consumer internet experiences like seeing Amazon recommendations, for instance, or seeing implicitly how things are selected for your Facebook feed, there will be massive amounts of data and analytics going on behind the scenes, but you don't need to know that. It's something that will just basically be built in to the tools that you're using, like Delve. Delve is a great example. And this is another one where many of these things have existed for a while, so there were knowledge management tools and expertise location kinds of tools in the past, but some of them didn't get far because there were a lot of privacy concerns and expectations about what would be visible and what wouldn't be. But this is yet another example where the consumer internet trends and people's expectations about privacy and their understanding on how to control their own privacy has now made it not sort of a nice to have in the enterprise, but something that people understand is really beneficial. So it's gone from being kind of an outlier, maybe speculative, specialized thing, into something where if Delve is successful, it will be the primary place where people go to look for content that's spread across OneDrive, OneNote, SharePoint, email file attachments, and other places. So if successful, Delve will look a lot like a cross between web search and Pinterest, except that the items that you're working with are going to be work-related instead of consumer.
That concludes part one of our podcast on trends in enterprise content management in collaboration with Peter O'Kelly. Stay tuned for part two.